Turn to Luke in chapter number 2. Luke in chapter number 2. And tonight we're going to look at my favorite characters of the Christmas story, and that's the shepherds. And I've always enjoyed the story of the shepherds. I get in my mind thinking about them, and I enjoy it. Man, this next couple weeks, we're going to be at the first of the year very quickly. And I want to encourage you to be just mindful of our, I know our missions conference, and we need to be mindful of that. But we need to be mindful of the direction we're going in the new year. And next Sunday, we're going to be trying to put some of that thoughts in your mind and give some direction for us. Our theme in the new year is going to be faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. The reality is this, that faith is just me being obedient to the Word of God. When I know what the Word of God tells me to do, and I practice obedient to it, I'm practicing faith. I'm simply operating in faith. And so many times we got to come to faith on a lot of different things, and we've got to get to a place to where we're just willing to be obedient to the Word of God. And I cannot make you do anything. I would love to be able to make you do something. I'd love to be able to be a better manipulator, maybe even a better salesman at times, to get you to do what I'd want you to do. But the reality is that there's really no victory in you being obedient to me. There's none. But if we learn to be obedient to God, there's great victory in obedience to God. And you and I, if we need to get to that place to where obedience to God as well, because there is victory in obedience to God. Obedience to God is enough. Right? Sometimes we are obedient to God, and we do what we're told to do. We do what God wants us to do. And then we sit around and I'm just talking about Christians. I'm talking about myself. And I believe I'm not alone in this, because we don't get the results that we thought we were going to get. I told Brother Marcus this morning, we went and visited a bus family, took that offering to them, and honestly took an offering to them, and there is no strings attached to an offering. There's absolutely none. And we gave because we want to be loving and kind, and I thank everybody. We were able to take a great offering over there to them, just to show love to them, and I hope they didn't feel any obligation to it. But man, just talking to them and just getting to know them a little bit, and I was just convinced. They said they were going to be here today, and they might walk in here tonight yet. I don't know, but I was shocked this morning. That's pretty hard. I'm used to being lied to about people coming to church. I've kind of gotten crusty and old and hardened by that. And it most time I'm like, they're not coming. They just lie. They're all liars. Everybody's a liar. That's my approach to that is, let God be true and every man a liar, and nobody's really going to show up. But I was just convinced they were going to be here today, I was like, man, I couldn't believe they weren't here. But at the same time, I know this: we gave out of love, and we've shown love, and we've invited, and we've shared. And I'm telling you, many times that's not enough for us, though. And we get discouraged. We many times get discouraged in the work of the Lord, and we get discouraged in the obedience to the Lord, because we're not seeing the results, not that He intended, but that we didn't want to see, that we wanted to see. God didn't perform to the standard that we had set for Him in our mind and in our heart. And because God didn't perform up to our standard, we find ourselves discouraged. Instead of just being encouraged that I had a desire to do something for God. There was a day and time in my life, I grew up in church, and there was a day and time in my life I had no desire to do anything for God. That's just a reality. And now I've gotten to spend a majority of my life now in the service of the Lord. I'm telling you, that's a miracle of God. That's victory. And I'm telling you, when we wake up and we have a heart to do something for God, where there at one time was no heart at all to do anything that God wanted us to do, we didn't even care what the Word of God said. We didn't even care what God thought. I'm telling you, when we wake up and we have a desire to follow up the Word of God, I'm telling you what that is that's victory. And it might not be happening as quick, and it might not be moving as fast as I'd want it to be moving, but I'm telling you, when we've been obedient, we experience the victory that only Christ can give. And so next week, kind of maybe we can prime the pump and And Lord, just been working on my heart now about that. I really struggled. Usually, I know in October, man, this is where we're going to be next year. And it was well into November before I was like, man, I just really feel like this is direction for our church and something to be focusing on for our church. And I just pray that in this new, as we approach the new year, and as you come to Christmas and fellowship with your family, and we fellowship as a church family, that we will look to God, that we would be obedient. That we would be obedient, that we would practice faith, and that we would see God give victory. Look in Luke in chapter number 2. That had maybe something to do with the message, because we're going to talk about the obedience here a little bit. But I just want to encourage you with that as we approach our missions conference, as we approach this first of the year so rapidly. I want us to be mindful of that. But look in Luke in chapter number 2. If you can stand in honor of the Word of God, we're going to begin reading in verse number 1. We're going to read down through verse number 20. It's kind of just the Christmas story that we would read right here in the book of Luke. And it says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrene was the governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one unto his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee to the city of Nazareth, into Judah, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in a field, keeping watch over their flock by night." And so we get this story. You say, what does it mean they were abiding in the field? They were sitting in the dirt and the grass, and it was dark. So some of them probably even sitting around in sheep stuff, you know. Come on. Abiding. They were just there. They were just there. If you've never walked through a field with farm animals before, you have no idea what I'm talking about. They're in the fields with animals. They've been there for some of them more than likely days now. And surely they stinketh. Amen? Surely they were abiding in the field. That was their job. That was their vocation. That's what they were doing. It says in verse number 9, it says, "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." Come on, let's get this story, this picture in our minds, if you will, of the glory of the Lord. We'll talk about that a little more in a minute, but I'm telling you, it had to be magnificent. We have all this entertainment, and we have video games and television and all things. And I'm just telling you, if the glory of the Lord showed up about us, even with all the things that these eyes have seen and with all the entertainment that they've enjoyed, if the glory of the Lord showed up here tonight, I think we would all still be impressed. I just think we would. I can't imagine for them, who have never even seen a TV, right? At least not for a couple years yet. They wouldn't have TVs, right? Or a light bulb. I think they would have been a little bit amazed. It said in verse number 10, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest. On earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into the heaven, that the shepherds said one to another, Let us go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, and it was told as it was told unto them. Now, we just want to just talk to you just briefly about Christmas with the shepherds. Christmas with the shepherds. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear God, Lord, we thank you so much for your grace and your mercy. And Lord, this is such a familiar story for us. And I pray that it would not grow old. I pray that we would not just be looking at this Christmas season as if it is just another holiday to get through. I pray that our heart's desire would not be that we would get some gift this year, but Lord, that we would be magnified. We would be awed by your magnificence of coming. And God, that we would glorify you and that we would sing your praise. And God, that just like these shepherds, we would be witnesses of the sign in which we've received. Lord, that we would go and tell of the Savior who has come, that we might be able to be saved from our sins. Lord, would you help us tonight to just be so simple that would be the focus of our Christmas. Lord, would you be with us tonight as we consider these thoughts? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The shepherds are, again, they're just one of my favorite parts of the Nativity, basically because they're just common men. They're very simple men. They were literally just out keeping the flocks by night. They were doing that which was their job, their duty to do, and the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory shone round about them. And again, I don't know exactly what that looks like or exactly if I could bring a proper definition to it. I know that it means that there was an illumination that shone round about them. I mean, it was bright, but I mean, consider how it is when you're fast asleep and somebody's real joyful in the morning and flips on the light, you know, to wake you up. And that's, I mean, it's just a bright light. These guys have never even seen a light bulb. I mean, the most light that they would have had with them out there, they didn't have the light pollution that we do today. And they wouldn't have had like the city of Bethlehem giving off this nice glow out in the distance, or Jerusalem giving off a nice glow to keep to give them some kind of light. They literally just had the stars in the sky and possibly a campfire by which things were lit. And all of a sudden, it was like daylight out there, and everything around them was illuminated by the angels that had come. And they didn't have a They didn't have any light at all. And not only that, the Bible says they were sore afraid. And this was not a regular happening. I mean, consider back in the earlier in the story of Zechariah and Zechariah, a priest that was going through priestly duties, and he was going through the work that was taking place there in the temple, and he was going in to light the incense. It was literally a picture of prayer being offered unto God, and here he is going to say, man, we have this continual prayer going up before the Lord and lighting that altar of incense, and as he was going there, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him there as he was going through this religious act, as he was going through this very special time, and he wasn't at all prepared to meet with God. I'm telling you, he was going through religious practices. He was going through something that was symbolic of communicating with God, and he did not at all anticipate anything happening, because for over 400 years, nothing had happened and nothing had taken place. And if Zacharias was shocked and disbelieving of an angel appearance to him, imagine how Rufus and Doofus fell out here watching over sheep. I don't know if that's their names. Probably. Maybe one named Daryl. I don't know. Daryl, and my other brother Daryl. But here they are out here in the fields keeping watch over the sheep. And this light shines about them. For me, it's almost like, I mean, if we saw a UFO, right? I mean, come on. If this unidentified flying object appeared in the sky, just imagine that. Play along with the story a little bit. These guys saw a light that they'd never seen before. They saw an apparition of this angel, right? Not an apparition, but I mean literal angel right there in front of them and giving them information that they weren't privy to and probably weren't very educated in of themselves. And I love how the Bible says, and they were sore afraid. And in my mind, and probably we should write, think it this way, no kidding they were sore afraid. All the horrible things you've seen in your life, and there's still things that scare you, right? They hadn't seen any of those things. They hadn't been a part of any of that. And I dare say I would be afraid as well. And with good reason we would be afraid because of just the sheer wow factor of the moment, the wow factor of the situation that was taking place. And it would have been a very frightful moment. It would have been a very scary moment. The question we would stop and ask though is, man, of all places for these angels to show up at, I mean, of all the people for them to show up and talk to, shepherds, man, they weren't exactly the upper crust of society whatsoever. I mean, there was nothing magnificent about shepherds. Even in their society, they were somewhat outcasts of their society. If you were to study the life of a shepherd, they were not pillars of the community. They were not people that were lifted up to positions of real authority. In fact, if you consider the story of David, David was the least of his father's house. And guess where he got stuck? Watching the sheep. That's where David, I mean, King David, little boy named David, had to be called in from the sheepfold so that Samuel could anoint him to be the king of Israel. It was not a place where those who were thought to be of great pomp and circumstance, those who were thought of to be of great authority were living. It really wasn't a super difficult job. Hey, sit out here with the sheep. Make sure nothing eats them, right? Make sure they have the right food. Make sure they have water. Very basic, very simple. Didn't take a lot of education. It didn't take a lot of skill. It just took a lot of patience and just waiting. Just simply waiting and just simply being there. Living with sheep for days on end. I dare say that when a shepherd would come by, you would know it. You would know, I mean, they probably had a pungent aroma that they were out there in the fields, and they would have been men of poor hygiene. They would have been men that would have not worn fancy clothing. They would have been, they would have been men that would have been smelly and maybe had messed up hair. And I thought about wearing Bubba teeth tonight just to give you a better picture, right, of how the shepherd. Come on, because they weren't looking like, man, we're gonna find the best of the best of the best. We're gonna throw them out there in the fields with the sheep. That's not what they were looking for. They were looking for literally somebody who could just sit and watch and keep an eye out. That's all you had to be able to do was keep one eye open while you're there protecting and watching over the sheep. And shepherds, they were outcasts of society of Israel. They were outcasts for the purpose of that ceremonially they would have been unclean. They wouldn't have been allowed into the temple because they would be out there for days on end, among, you know, the sheep stuff. Would have made them ceremonially unclean. But God does... Listen, we understand this. God does not call. If you look at Luke in chapter number 1, Luke in chapter number 1, verse number 51 through 53, it says this. He has showed strength with his arm and hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats. He has exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good, and the rich he hath sent empty away. Listen, God was not looking for the high society to bring this message of the Savior to. He wasn't looking for just the right crowd. I'm telling you, there's a problem in religion, and there's a problem in the heart of men and women who, listen, I think I can take the gospel to them, and I can take the gospel to them. And there might be people I relate to better than others, and there might be people that I seem to just get along with better than others. There are people I can befriend quicker than others. There's no doubt about that. But the reality is this, that I'm not supposed to be looking on the outward appearance. On the inside of all mankind, we know this, that we are lost and undone without Jesus Christ as our Savior. We all have the same need, and the answer for all of our need is Jesus Christ. And we need not be looking on the outward appearance of what man might seem to be or what we think they could be. We're to be looking at the need that men truly have. And Christ did not come that he might be able to find those who he thought could do him the greatest good. You consider the disciples in whom Jesus called unto himself, and Peter and James and John, and you read through the Gospels and all the pitfalls that they fell into, and all the times they were thinking one thing and it was completely opposite of what God wanted them to do and what God was thinking. I'm telling you, he didn't go out and just say, man, I need the 12 best and brightest. He was looking for simply those who would follow him. Yeah. Those who would stay with him. And those who would heed what he had to say. So here these simple men are abiding in the field. Dirty. Just waiting. Just sitting there. The angel could have gone to kings. The angel could have gone to magistrates. The angel could have gone to the wealthy. The angel could have gone. But it just simply, that God sent them to some simple men abiding in a field who honestly had nothing better to do. They were going to receive the message. Why them? Well, Jesus foretold that he would be a shepherd in Genesis 49:24 is one prophecy of it. But Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 11, let me read this to you. He says, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom. And shall gently lead those that are with young. This was a prophecy of Jesus Christ. Jesus in his earthly ministry was even called the good shepherd, according to John chapter 10 and verse 11. He's the good shepherd, and his sheep know his voice. Jesus also was prophesied as being the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the earth. Isaiah in chapter number 53 in verse number 7 says, and he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as sheep before the shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. John the Baptist, as he saw Jesus Christ coming, he said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. In John in chapter 1 and verse number 29. So whether it's the shepherd or the sheep, I'm telling you, the announcement of the Savior couldn't have gone to a more excellent group of people than the shepherds. For Christ was the good shepherd, and he was also the Lamb of God that was going to take away our sins. And Jesus was brought to this night, and he was heralded to those who were shepherding the sheep. And that's who God brought this message of great tidings to. Also, the angel appeared to, I believe, to them because they were just humble men. They were just humble men. Humble men who would hear a message that was delivered unto them. Humble men that would heed a message that was heralded to them. And humble message that would take that same message and herald it to those in the city and those whom they came in contact with. That's who this message went to. Number one, they heard the message of God. They heard what God was going to do. It says in verse number 11, let us go even to Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. They heard what the message of the angels. Glory to God in the highest on earth. peace, goodwill to men. There's born unto you this night in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. They heard this message and they understood that it was a message that was unto them. They heard that this which is taking place in verse number 11. For unto you is born this day. That's who the angels were talking to. They were talking to the shepherds. And they understood this was a personal message for them. That God was delivering His message to them. It was a personal message that the Savior had been born. It was a prophetic message that was delivered unto them. It was in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. It was prophesied that He was going to come. And the Jews had waited and they had looked for a long, long time for this to come to pass. And now it has come to pass. And then in verse number 12, "And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." The sign that they were going to give, it was a promised message. Listen, this was a sign that was given unto them. Just like it was given, we talked about, unto Isaiah, from Isaiah unto Ahaz, and just like it's given unto you, it is a promised message that God, it was a sign that God had sent, that we would understand and we would know that there is a Savior, there is a Messiah, and this promised message was first heralded unto them. They were the first human beings, other than Joseph and Mary, that were going to hear the great tidings of what God has done, and all the prophecies that God had made were now coming to pass. They were now being fulfilled. And after 400 years, listen, God delivered His message to a bunch of humble men who were willing to hear it. They had nothing else going on. There wasn't Monday Night Football. There wasn't saying, well, maybe they were rolling dice, or I don't know. Come on. They were out in a field at night, sitting there, smelling and watching sheep. They were willing to hear the message. This message was moving to these shepherds. It stirred them up, and they didn't just hear it, they got it. Come on, they didn't just hear the words that the angels were saying. They got the message that the angels were sharing. And in verse number 15, "Let us go now even to Bethlehem. Let us see this thing which has come to pass." Man, they go, that was weird. I mean, you ever seen like anything like that before, Vern? Yeah, I never seen like anything like that, Daryl. Come on, they didn't look at it. Huzz, did you ever see it? No, Buzz, I've never seen nothing like that. No, they heard the message and they did something about the message. They heeded the message that was given unto them and they went unto Jerusalem. And their heart was this: we need to go see this thing. I mean, if God's been so gracious enough to show it to us, if God's been so awesome to show, come down and magnify this message unto us in such an amazing way, we need to go check this thing out. We need to go see it. I'm telling you, they got stirred up with in themselves enough to leave the flock and to go into the city and to see what was taking place. And the Spirit of God had delivered to them a message, and they wanted to see what it was. They wanted to put their eyes upon it. We get really used to hearing messages. We do. God's given us this great gift called the church, and then God puts preachers and teachers in that church, and they deliver message after message after message. And I'm telling you, those messages are not for us to go, okay, nap time's over. Come on. Although it be that way most times. Heard that before. All right, well, maybe he'll do better next time. Come on. No, no, no. They're delivering a message. They're preaching a message because they want you to hear it, and then they want you to act upon it. They want you to go and to heed what you've heard. They want you to do something with a message. And for you and I to get so accustomed to the Word of God and so accustomed to the preaching of the Word of God and the message of God that when it is delivered unto us, didn't do nothing for me. What about you? And stirring to me. And you say, well, I mean, preacher. I mean, they had light and an angel appear unto them. I'm telling you tonight. Telling you. We have light. I know it's not the glory of the Lord shining by, but we have light. Praise the Lord. No, come on. We can joke about that, but spiritually, we have more light that has been given unto our generation, and we have more light that has been shown unto us through the Word of God than any man has had throughout all of mankind. God has given us His light. He has delivered unto us His Word. His light shined in a dark place. And listen to me, we have greater light shining unto us today than they ever did. Yes. And we get bored with it? And again, I'm not trying to build myself up, but you go over to the book of Revelation, and by the directing of the Spirit of God, guess what pastors are referred to? Angels. I didn't write that. My wife definitely didn't write that. Maybe some of my kids, the younger ones anyway. But come on. That's exactly, God gave us light, and He delivers, He's given us an angel. He put him in the church to deliver the message over and over and over again. And I'm telling you, when we hear the message of the Word of God, it should stir in us something that should excite us from time to time, should get us to a point to where we get excited. And I'm telling you, if we can get to a place where it's like, man, preacher just preached another gospel message, praise God we preached another gospel message. You say, why should we preach another gospel message? Because we have the gospel. That's why. Why do we need to talk about that again? Because it's in the Word of God. And we should get stirred up about it. I'm just telling you, people shouldn't come and say, I'm here, bless me. Should not be the attitude of the child of God. And it shouldn't be that we should sit around and go, man, I just can't believe these mega churches are growing. I don't know why they're all growing. And seems like they're all doing this entertainment stuff. And they got this things to excite people and that. And come on, it should not be any wonder to anybody that people get excited about glittery lights and fancy stuff. Men have always got excited about glittery lights and fancy stuff and a big show. But when they come in and we just say, hey, this is the Word of God, and we sit there and go, are we done yet? I'm telling you, it should not be any shock to us that nobody really wants to come and see be as miserable as you are when you come to church. Shouldn't shock you at all that men, they all sit around like a bunch of bumps on a log and sing old songs. And they don't seem excited about it at all. I'm just saying, I'm thankful that we have good singing around here. And we need to be careful that when we open our hymnal and we sing the songs that are in there, that have a real message and have real meaning and that are biblical. Friend, we ought to sing them out with great joy and great excitement. And when the Word of God is preached, we shouldn't just be sitting there hoping He gets done and hoping He gets finished and hoping this all that we can get to the pot roast at home or get to about our daily routine. No, I'm telling you, there should be some joy and excitement when we hear the message of God. We should, and we heed the message of God. It's going to produce in us an excitement and a joy and an exuberance that we've got to go and see that these things be so. That we get into the Word of God. That we go and search the Word of God. That we go home and read in the middle of the afternoon Kings chapter number, 2 Kings chapter number 16, and 2 Chronicles in chapter number 28. And we'd be worrying about the Word of God. And it'd be real to us. And it'd be something of passion to us. That we have the light of God that shined abroad unto us. Yes. When we hear the preaching of the Word of God, it should stir something in us. It shouldn't just cause us to go, oh, yeah, sure. I mean, yeah, truth. I mean, that's truth. I mean, praise the Lord. I'm telling you. And far too many churches just get sleepy. I'm telling you, we get sleepy. Instead of excited about the things of God, instead of exuberant about the message of God, the light of God shining unto us and illuminate God illuminating His truth unto us, we get sleepy with the Word of God and we get lazy with the Word of God. And because we get sleepy and lazy, we don't hear it, we don't heed it, and we definitely don't herald it. This was the first group of men that God brought the message of a Savior to this earth. It's the first group of guys that got to hear it. And they got excited about it. And their desire was to, and it says, and they came with haste. They came with haste and they found Mary and they found Joseph lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad. When they saw what God had, man, this is what God said was here, and this is what happened. We need to go tell everybody. We've received a message from God. We saw angels, and this is what they said, and it was true. And he's over there, and you can go see him for yourself. Yeah. They heralded the message. They noised it abroad. Come on. That's just honest truth. That's why Paul tells Timothy, listen, stir up the gift of God that's within you. That's why we're to restore. David asked that he'd have the joy of his salvation restored, because it can be something that over time, it can just kind of lull to sleep. It can be something that over time, it can just kind of, I mean, the glitter and the shine of it can kind of just be something that I've just been saved for over 20 years. And I'm saved in it. I'm telling you, but the first time, can you remember the fear and the joy and the excitement and the emotion of the first time? I mean, when you were saved and you got to go and tell someone about it, and there was a little trepidation to that, but at the same time, I mean, the Spirit of God just so real in your life now, and you felt so clean and so right about what God had done for you, and you wanted to just tell everybody about it. Now, I mean, and you were like coming up in your ways. I'm like, I mean, how could I spread this message further? And how could I spread it farther? And how could I mean, what could I do to make sure other people hear this message? I mean, these guys were the first ones to hear, and they spread the noise abroad of the message that God had given them. It means to make known through thoroughly, but it also means this. In Webster's dictionary, 1828 dictionary, this is what he says about the word abroad. It just means to noise in open air. To noise in open air. I mean, they're literally, we can get this picture as they were making known abroad what God had showed them and what God had told unto them. They were just going through the streets. The Savior has come. The Savior has come. He's here. And God sent him. The angels have told us, and it's true. Come and see for yourself. I mean, it wasn't that they were like, quiet. Come here. Come here. No, over here in the dark, in the corner, where nobody can see us. Come over here. Come on. Look closer. I don't want anybody else to hear. Jesus has come. Yeah, the one that we've been waiting for. He's here now. That's not what was going on. And yet that seems to be the witness of most Christianity today. May I remind you, I know I do all the time, but the thing that people should leave here and say is, it's not about, man, they had great glittery lights and they had a great show and put on a good, very entertaining. And that's fine. I mean, it's not like I want people to come here and go, that was awful. Nobody wants that. But you realize this, according to 1 Corinthians 14, that's not just dependent upon me. Yeah. That's dependent upon us.
Yes.
It's dependent upon all of us. It's dependent upon everybody in the body that we are going to be here for the purpose of prophesying, for the purpose of edifying one another, building one another up. And listen, it doesn't mean that our church is going to grow leaps and bounds. It doesn't mean that people are going to, we're just going to see the walls just split out from all the things that are happening here and all the growth that we're seeing. But listen, it does mean this, that in our community we have the testimony that God is in that place. I'm telling you, we should be those who are going and heralding abroad the message that has been given unto us. We should restore again the joy of our salvation. Remember what it was like. Before I knew the Romans Road, before I had a plan, before I knew had everything figured out, I just knew this, that I was a sinner and Christ saved me. I love the story of in Acts, where Peter and John are walking through the gate, beautiful, and they come upon the lame man. He's like, alms for the poor, and they said, hey, we don't have no money, but such as we have, give I thee. And they leaped him up, and the Bible says that he went in with them with the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And then later on, he gets questioned about what's going on, and he goes, man, I don't know what to tell you guys. I don't really know who what happened. I know this, that well one there I, that what they gave me was far greater than anything you've given me. Story of Jesus in the Bible, where the guy, he was blind, he got questioned, was it his parents or was it him that sinned? He says, I don't know about that. I don't know about it. I don't know what it is, but I know this. I was blind and now I see. I'm just telling you. We should get back to the point to where I'm for having a plan. I'm for going out with a purpose. I'm for all that stuff. But where we just get excited about the fact that Christ saved me and that Christ forgave me and that He's given me a testimony. If He's given me a witness, I'm telling you, if you have a testimony of what God did in your life and the light that God shown unto you, you have everything you need to go out and share Him with someone else.
Yeah.
So I just need more, a better program. I need somebody to give me better training. No, no, no. You just need to get over yourself and get excited about what God's excited about. God was excited about His Son coming to earth. They were excited about the Son coming to earth. And they went and they heralded openly in the air abroad to everyone that could hear the sound of their voice that Jesus Christ had come. Come on, they were just humble guys who didn't know any better. They didn't fit into society. They probably weren't going to have a lot of people come close to them in the dark corner because they stank. They probably had to noise it abroad a little bit for people to hear it because they were walking right around them. But listen, this is a question I'll be done tonight. What are we doing with the message of Christ? I'm talking about what am I doing with the message of Christ? Am I looking around and going, okay, I think they'll hear it. I think I have a connection with them. Or am I just indiscriminately sharing it? Come on, am I just indiscriminately? I'm not looking for any particular group, any particular person. I'm just seeing humanity as humanity. And I'm going with a message that God loves you and God's forgiven you and God forgave me. And if He can forgive a sinner like me, He can forgive a sinner like you.
Yeah.
And we're not looking there with respect of what they got on or respect of who they are or respect of what they might be able to offer unto us because we don't care really what they have to offer us. We have the greatest gift that God's ever given. And it's enough. It's enough. And I'm just going to be faithful with the command that God's given and I'm going to go with the message that God's given. What are we really doing with the gospel in our life? What are we really doing with it? Are we really sharing it as we go in our lives? Are we gotten to a point where we're like just kind of gotten to where well when the opportunity presents itself, the guys didn't sit around and go well I mean, you know it's dark and it's night and maybe the opportunity isn't right. They became a nuisance throughout the city of Jerusalem that night.
Yeah.
But they had something great to talk about. And friend, so do you. So do you. Say, well, I'm nobody. The first people he went to were a group of nobodies sitting out in the field. He's not looking for somebody. Friend, listen, he's looking for anybody that will go tell everybody about somebody who has shown a message unto them of life and of light. God wants to use you and me. And if you and I would humble ourselves before Him, I'm telling you, the reality is He could use us even greater. He's not looking for us to be built up with some prideful, arrogant plan. No. He's looking just for you just be humble enough to be willing to just say, listen, I don't know much. I don't really know anything at all, but I do know this. There was a point in time where I was a sinner, and Jesus Christ came to seek and to save me. And Jesus Christ offered unto me salvation. And He offers it unto you. And you say, people really aren't. Somebody might. You don't know. And the reason we don't know is because generally we've been far too quiet with it. We've been far too quiet with it. And God's just looking for some humble people to just noise abroad that He's come. As we celebrate Christmas, let's just consider the thought of how far and wide am I noising abroad the news of His coming. Doesn't need to happen. They say, well, I don't have time on Saturday at 10 o'clock. I'm not talking about Saturday at 10 o'clock. I'm talking about Monday by the water cooler at 2 p.m. in the afternoon. I'm not talking about just, man, the right circumstance and the right scenario and the right situation. I'm just talking about that we're just so excited about what God's done for us that we just have to tell somebody about it. Anybody. We could care less who hears. We just want somebody to know about Him and about what He's done for us. Are we excited about the message that Jesus Christ has come to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And he doesn't want to just save me. He wants to save everyone who will, listen, who will follow after him. He's come to save their souls and shepherd them. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this evening.